Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today we are going to be talking about living mindfully. How do you nourish your body, mind, and spirit? Or are you at the gym and you're just running as hard as you can? Are you doing hot yoga every single day, and if you skip a day, you're doing it twice the next day? Are you eating and you're saying, I'm doing green everything, and then on the weekends, oh, I'll just do whatever I want and I'll binge out? Or can you say that, you know, I have to have blueberries year-round? That is just my go-to. I demand it. It's what keeps my body going, and that's what I need. Are we really looking at our body and our spirit and even the earth and saying there are seasons to life? And we think about it, we say, oh, we're young, that's a young spring. And then, you know, we get a little bit older, and then we're into our summer, and then into the 40s and 50s and 60s, we're in our autumn, and then we're in our winter years when we're 70 or 80. That is true with age, but there are cycles to every moment. There are cycles to the weather outside. I grew up in Pennsylvania. I know well the summers and the seasons and the winters. And I miss them desperately. Even when I lived in Scottsdale, Arizona, I don't think I even owned a sweater or closed-toed shoes for years. And we laugh about it and we think, oh, that's cool. That's what I really want. But really, have we honored the seasons of our body is really craving, or the seasons of what our health might need? Do we want to be running on amp, you know, 100 miles an hour every single day? And say, oh my gosh, I don't know what happened when I hit the wall. I don't know, doc. I've been healthy and happy forever, and now you're telling me something's wrong with you? I don't know. I think we have to kind of look at the seasons of our body and our life and maybe slow down and maybe take a little breather and maybe say, you know what, I'm going to rest. Ooh, that's a dirty word in some people's vocabularies. Well, today my guest is Randy Reagan. Her book is A Year of Living Mindfully, Seasonal Practices to Nourish Body, Mind, and Spirit. Randy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us to talk about this topic.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Randy, don't you think we can, you know, ramp it up and keep on going one way? And, you know, I'll tell you, man, these hot yoga chicks, when they get around me, I'm like, I'm just waiting for your wall, honey. Let me know when it comes. Right?
Well, you know, I think we all have to find our rhythm.
Yeah.
And we all have to, and I think really when I use the term mindfully, it's a very generous and big word to apply in lots of different ways. But I think the main thing is to just pay attention, listen, observe. And I don't think that we can listen and observe and pay attention when we've filled ourselves with what's going to happen. We're so forward thinking into the future that we forget about what's happening right here and right now. So I think in answer to your question, if you can slow down and pay attention to not just your internal rhythms, but the external rhythms of things going on around you, then, you know, for sure, some moments you can ramp it up and go full speed, but I don't think that's sustainable personally.
Well, something always has to give. Now, let's look at this, though. I'll be 60 this year. This is probably not a topic we would have discussed when I was maybe in my 20s or 30s, which was in the 70s and early 80s. We weren't using these words. We weren't talking about nourishing body, mind, and spirit unless you were in some other, as they would call the hippie years, you know, and because people were not in touch with that. They were still on the treadmill of, you know, up until the 90s of how fast can I get there? How much can I accumulate? And I need to make sure that I'm at the top of my game. Even still on Facebook, you'll see today, you know, how to make a million in 2 weeks, you know, how to have seven clients in the next 2 hours, how to be successful at your game. And it really is kind of a game, but we look at it and we say, what does the word really mindfully mean? And I really think it's only come into its own when the internet started to, you know, sprout up and people started having the conversations where someone would say, oh, but I don't do it that way. This is how I do it, you know, or, well, maybe that worked for me, but it doesn't anymore. So our lives have really shifted, I think, over the past few decades, don't you think?
I do, and I think that's for the better. I really hope that we're in a new era of evolving toward some sense of sanity about our busyness. Although sometimes I'm not so sure because we're all so plugged in and connected to devices and technology. And I think there's an awesome aspect to that, but I think it also can rob us of the ability to be introspective. And again, I would use the word mindful in that regard, just because it teaches us to remove distraction, to slow down, to really ask ourselves, is this what I really want right now? Is this what I really want to be doing? Is this what I really want to be emphasizing in my life? Is that goal still something that's important to me? You know, and I think if you never move through your life and reassess and ask yourself, oh, gosh, is this now what I want to be doing? Then I think that you aren't perhaps leading the most productive kind of pathway for yourself. I think if you never stop to lift up your eyes and look around and ask these very important questions on a regular basis, then, like you said, I think you kind of crash into the wall eventually.
You know, I can say from my own experience in growing up in the 50s and 60s, when it was time for college and everything, people were kind of, you know, you only knew what you read in the corner library. You only knew what you read or heard from people around you. So when you went to college, you kind of were predisposed some way down some path already, where now you have such freedom to be able to pick and choose what you want to do because you see a whole expansiveness around you. I mean, but I also can remember, you know, having four kids, going to college, being a single parent, still working full time. And I would have those big date books and I would, you know, the 8.5 by 11, what were they, those day timers. And I used to staple yellow legal sheets in for each day because it still wasn't enough to hold everything I had to do, you know. And it's just because there was a lot of doing that had to be done. And I think now we're just saying, what is all this doing about, right?
Well, I think it's, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to be organized in your life and set goals, but I think it's, and I think this is something that maybe is hard won once you've toiled a few decades into your adult life. You know, and I think it's easier to ask these questions when you've got a little distance down the highway. But I would hope that people who are younger and just starting out understand the value of reassessing and asking these questions. And really, I think you can be busy and I think you can be purposeful, but I also think when you can be introspective and reevaluate on a regular basis, then you're doing yourself a huge favor.
I think it also comes a lot on the sign that you can have parents and you're looking at them and you kind of try to emulate them as you go through. And, you know, over the decades, and what we've seen now with the rise in cancer, the rise in the financial crisis, people's homes, they're losing their homes. When they had that trouble with all of the people's, their savings and everything, when all of that money was all wiped away and everything. I think then the children were saying, I see what's happening to my family. And then it's a real opportunity to be able to learn a lesson from that and watch and say, do I need to be more caring? Can I step back and say I don't need that big house that they are crying over for the last 5 years because they lost this big house when it wasn't about the house anyway, you know?
Right.
Or
right.
Things about the marriage was horrible and, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad, you know, you say to your mother or father, I'm so glad you finally did leave. You know, I was sick of it too. Or, you know, with your health, it's like, well, how hard have you been going on and on and on and not taking care of yourself? And just because you felt I needed to have violin lessons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So really, I think it's been a throw up in the air and say, you know, we've got to change. And that's really where we've been, I think, the past 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think also what I'm hearing a lot of is how to live in balance, and this word holistic comes to mind. It's saying it's important to pay attention to all four quadrants of our human experience, our emotions, our mind, our body, and our spirit, and they all have to be paid attention to. They all have to be nurtured so that they're all healthy, and I think when one, what we're starting to see is this connection. When the wheel falls off on one side of the bus, then it doesn't drive down the road so straight anymore,
right.
You know? And so you got to keep all four wheels on. You got to pay attention to them. You got to get your oil changed. You know, you got to look under the hood. And I really do use that as a very strong metaphor, because there's no way that you can make your journey down the road effectively if you don't. If you want to be, you know, uber successful in the business world, you do have to stay healthy. You have to pay attention to what you eat and how much sleep you get. If you do want to be a caring partner, you have to understand how to access authentic emotion and ask for what you need from your partners, from your family, from your friends, from your neighbors. You have to be able to meet them halfway. You have to compromise, but you have to know who you are. So you have to spend some time getting to know yourself. You have to understand how to keep your mind flexible. You have to understand how to keep your mind where you are looking at the world sometimes as a child would, with wonder and awe. If you start to feel yourself slipping into cynicism or prejudgment, that's not a good place to be mentally. So all of these quadrants have to be happening. And when you start making those connections in small ways, it's really eye-opening. And then it becomes what I talk about all the time to people, and what I constantly try to remind myself is that the more you practice anything, the easier it gets. You don't wake up one day and go, I'm going to run a marathon today. You practice. You start out running a mile at a time, and then you increase your ability and your stamina. And the same thing is true with anything that we want to do well and have, you know, it be effective for us and to see results from. You practice at it as much as you can. And so living mindfully, living holistically, and paying attention to all four areas of your life as much as you can, you know, is a skill set, and you practice it. And then you get really good at it and you start to realize, wow, this really makes so much sense.
You know, it was so interesting. When I had my practice in Arizona over a decade and a half ago now, the name of it was Center for Healing the Mind and Body. And people would call up and they would say, well, where's your center? And I said, the center is in you. And they were like, what?
That's so good.
You know? And they couldn't understand that, but I was in a different Then at that time, people understood it. You know, West Coast people understand that. But now we live in New Orleans, and they're like, forget it. Even in this today, day and age, still can't explain it to them. But I think you have to be ready, willing, and able to accept change or accept options or to be open to the world that other things aren't always put on you or you're not just here to have things happen to you. I mean, I even had someone say to me the other day, they're having terrible pain now for 6 months, and they've been running to doctors and emergency rooms and medications, and the same story every time when they go to the doctor is, I have this pain. Don't you see it? Give me a drug. They go home, take the drug, and within 24 hours, if they aren't totally fine, everybody in the world is a demon and nothing worked for them and everybody's crazy, you know? Right. So there's really a lot to be said how humans in our physical, our spiritual, our mental and emotional packets together that we really have to be able to expand, because when we do hit that wall, because you have got to have a toolkit. If you don't have a toolkit, you pretty much are just going to be sitting there until you do figure one out. And I think that's really what your book is about, is a toolkit for living going forward. In other words, to be able to, how do you expand? How do you try something? Hey, if you want yoga, let me tell you, I'm the most unlimber person there is. And it just happened in the past 5 years. I'm like, what is going on? And so I think, oh, I'll do yoga. I'll do it for one day. And it's like, okay, it didn't work for me. But I might do it for another day next month. And then maybe in the summer I might do it for 2 days. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. In other words, you expand your options that it's there. You have an idea about it. And then it'll keep showing up in your life. Sort of like I say to people, you know, the kids, when kids are growing up, they'll say, oh, my kid will never eat broccoli. Never going to happen. I gave it to him once, and it'll never happen again. Well, if you put broccoli, you know, a little tiny piece in his food or in his drink disguised for a year, do you think he ate broccoli? And they're like, oh, no, he doesn't know it's in there. And it's like, you just want to say, it's okay. Just open up to that option that there are ways to do things and to be introduced to things that will help you along the way, right?
Yeah, and I think that the point that I also try to make in the book is that it's not just any one tool that you have to glom onto. It can be a whole bunch of them, and that's the point. I mean, when you look at an artist's kit of all the different kinds of paints and colors and different kinds of brushes, you know, when they sit down to have a session at creating, they don't just use one brush and one color.
Right.
They use many different types of brushes, many different colors, many different techniques, and many types of paper. So it's a process of experimenting. And I think when you can just try one little thing and set it aside if you don't really resonate with it at first, like you said, with yoga or whether it's maybe trying green drinks, you know, once a week, you know, don't deem it a failure. Just deem it like, okay, I tried it and maybe I'll come back to it. And so what I try to do in the book is just give people a lot of different options. If you're somebody who's a real, really connected to their body, there's lots of physical things that you can do. If you're somebody who finds puttering around in the kitchen and trying new foods and herbs, then there's that for you. If you're somebody who really likes to, let's say, work in your community and find satisfaction doing things for your neighborhood or with other people, There's stuff in the book for that. So there's all different kinds of ways to reach these kinds of relationships that you can call your go-to tools when you need them, because we're all going to have moments of crisis, or we're all going to have moments of confusion or feeling like we don't know where to turn next, or just that we need to do something different. We don't know what it is. You know, or we've got an area of our life that just doesn't seem to be exciting us anymore. Maybe it's your work situation or where you live. You don't know. You're going to need some support. And having and knowing that you've got these tools in your toolkit and that they will give you comfort, they'll give you support. They'll just maybe nothing more than just, this is a really cool little ritual that I devised for myself. And And it really, I just pull it out every time I feel like I need something, then that's a great tool, you know? So having these little rituals and these little moments for yourself, I think, can make a world of difference when you have the intense crisis moments.
You know, I tell a lot of clients that if you want to exercise, don't pay for the gym. Get some of the exercise things on the internet because you can get a trial for 30 days. You know, try it for 30 days. If you don't like it, get another trial thing for 30 days, you know. And eventually you might build up to a year of 12 different things that you've tried. And you can say, oh, I really like this. Then you might stick with it. You know, I know even myself, I have blue-green algae in the refrigerator. There's times in my life where I'm like, I just have to have it. I get the really big container. I'll do it for about 2 to 3 months, and I'll say, oh, I've had enough of that taste. I just can't go there anymore. So then I put it in the refrigerator, and it sits there until it's like a little another tool or another comfort factor that I know it's in the refrigerator. It's there if I need it, and I can always go back to it. So if you purchase something, you can always go back to it. If you say, I got something at the store and maybe it's not the greatest, I'm not really sure, put it in the refrigerator, you know. Have it there and say, I'll come back to it. Or buy a small trial size and just try things out. I think, just like you said with the artist, if they sit in front of the same window day after day, 365 days out of the year, nothing is permanent. Every single moment of every single day is different because you have weather, you have light, you have shadows. And if we just think that everything is changing, we would be so much happier to flow with it rather than resisting it.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I really think that the way that I've defined a conscious life is that the goal is to seek a more vivid relationship the world around us. Simply put, if you want to live a conscious life, I think it's to find a really vivid relationship to the world around you. And that means being engaged. And I don't mean, you know, if community service is not your thing, getting out the vote with your neighbors is not your thing, that doesn't mean that you're not having a vivid relationship. Perhaps your relationship to the world around you is to rescue animals or to take nice long walks and just notice what's happening in the world around you. Whatever it is, through food, through music, through people, through service, whatever it is, through your particular work, seeking out and really being able to say to yourself, I am engaged with the world around me. Maybe not 24/7, who has to be that? But I am in the long run, consistently, I'm engaged with the world around me, and I'm paying attention, and I'm asking questions. May not know the answers, but at least you're asking questions. Mm-hmm. I think that's the point of any kind of conscious life, don't you?
Oh, yeah, really. I had one time I did a talk, and I asked the people when I would walk in and then I would sit down amongst them and then I would get up and then go as a speaker. And I would say to them, tell me just two things that you noticed when you got out of your car till you came in here. And people would say things like, the room is freezing, it's too crowded, oh gosh, my phone keeps going off, or I smell sausage because that's what the hotel is cooking or whatever. And then I might say something like, did you see the lady that was trying to help her husband into the car on the corner? And did you see maybe that there was someone that was just saying goodbye and they were crying in the waiting room? And they're like, no. So I guess it's just what I would always say is just have living your eyes wide open life. And what you say in your book is really about having conscious living. And I think it's one in the same. It's about paying attention and eyes wide open because your eyes are really, you know, the pathway to your soul, but that's how you're connected. So really just being able to be open and observe. And when you talk about the seasons in your book, each one of those seasons has eyes wide open time. You know, in the spring, you just can't wait for the flowers to come up, you know. In the summer, you're outside enjoying the heat or, you know, family and friends that are off of work or school. Then in the fall, you know, it's a time of autumn and the leaves and all of the harvest. And then you're into the winter where you're just enjoying family and friends and you're just in your downtime. So that's really a totally observation life that you're engaged in.
Yeah, and I think you said at the beginning of our conversation that paying attention to the rhythm of the seasons,
mm-hmm.
and you can do that literally as the days go by and the seasons obviously change, but you can also use it as a metaphor for understanding how to pace yourself, understanding how to approach maybe solving a problem or a task. You think about how the natural world gives us all of this information. The seasons all have a rhythm and a feeling and a pace and a texture. And so let's say you really, you have a dreaded task at work that you need to do. Maybe the seasonal approach would be to look at it, we may not even be in the spring when you have to solve this problem, but we think of the spring as our newborn self. The world is blooming and being born. Animals are being born. It's the time in the natural world when things are starting fresh and starting new. Mm-hmm. So maybe the way to approach this dreaded task is to approach it like a newborn would, like complete blank slate. What do I see that I've never seen before in this problem? What can I do that's completely fresh or that's just not like me to think about? How can I look at this or think about it or approach it in a way that's completely new? And so when you can ask yourself these kinds of questions and think about these types of seasonal rhythms, you can really open the door to, again, a whole other way of approaching things that happen in your life. And again, really slowing down and appreciating what nature has to give us. I think nature is our biggest ally. It's the place that we can go to over and over and over again for inspiration, for comfort, for joy, for beauty, for healing on all levels. It's really always there for us. And so I think to not take advantage of it is almost criminal because everybody's got nature, you know?
Yeah, and no matter how many times they try to say that fast food or pharmaceuticals are the way to go, maybe just cooking your own food that you grew in your own yard and being able to look at aromatherapy, homeopathy, or herbal medicines might be something for you is really a choice you have to make these days, is what works for you. And in your book, you share a lot about different things for each season. You talk about yoga, and you talked about fermented foods in the season of spring, and also about meditation breath work. And it's really important to be able to connect. And I think spring is your season of really how can you connect. Can you share a few tips that you have in your book about the season of spring?
Yeah, so like I was saying earlier, it's a time of starting over, and it gives us a real palatable, concrete way to wipe the slate clean because nature's really doing that for us. We look outside and we see everything starting over and growing fresh. So inside, our internal landscape can be one that's similar. I would say, you know, our food that we're seeing in the farmer's market now is very light. It's just stuff that's starting to grow. It's very light. So maybe we want to go to a lighter eating habit. Maybe we want to eat little, you know, lighter greens, and we want to eat, you know, things like work with lemons, and lemons are a great detoxifier. We have a lot of asparagus and, you know, light feathery greens, things like fennel and strawberries. And these foods are all here at this time of year for a reason. So we think about how to work those into our diet. Maybe do a little bit more sweating. That's a really great way to kind of clear the slate, get rid of metabolic wastes and toxins in our body. So think of exercises that you can do where you can sweat, maybe go to a sauna and do some sweat time, but really try to get those you know, pores to open and really cleanse yourself from the inside out. That's a great metaphor, again, for just getting lighter, getting free of stuff that's weighing us down. I think it's no coincidence that we have the term spring cleaning now. I think for as long as there have been people, we've wanted to start over. We've wanted to clean out, you know. So
right.
Now is a good time to do that. And if it makes you feel better to tackle your closet or your garage and use that to get out all of your aggression and pent-up anger and frustration, then
right.
go for it, you know?
Yeah.
But instead of throwing it in the landfill, maybe figure out a way to recycle it and give it a second life. That's an incredible exercise in renewal. You can also work with aromatherapy. One of my favorites is called helichrysum. It's a Mediterranean flower. It has a little honey curry-like smell, like sweet hay. You can find it online. It's everywhere. Might even be in your natural foods grocer. And it's really great for unblocking stagnant energy in the liver. It really sets the bloodstream to moving again. And it's got this really wonderful property when you inhale it. It's associated with this consciousness of I am. I am. So you can do a little ritual for yourself where you think, I am, and then have a blank, and then fill that in as many times as you want with whatever words come to mind. That's a really cool little ritual to do this time of year. So that, again, you're starting fresh, you're thinking about things in a fresh way, you're doing new fun things for your health, and you're looking outside of yourself again to think about, how do I fit into the world around me that's new and fresh? These are all great things to do.
Are you feeling despair or overwhelmed by your health or everyday life situations? Do you know what questions to ask and how to get help? Don't go it alone. Ask for help. Dr. Jeanette offers compassionate and comprehensive advocate support for health challenges. To download her free report, How to Get the Healthcare You Deserve, go to her website, www.drjeanettewellness.com. Anyone who downloads the information tonight will receive a complimentary 15-minute personal needs analysis consult with Dr. Gallagher for questions and answers. That website again for the free report download and free consult is www.drjeanettewellness.com. Just reach out and ask for help.
And also in your book, you have a lot of different recipes, not only for eating well, but also recipes for bringing less chemicals into your home and into mm-hmm. your life, and how to use simple natural substances to be able to clean your home or to be able to take care of your face or to be able to eat. You know, I mean, all of these are about limiting what you're bringing into your home. And being able to use something that's simple and natural to take care of your life. You know, when we say about, you said about the spring cleaning, it's great to do spring cleaning, but a lot of people turn around and then they're replacing things and they're buying even more. The idea of spring cleaning is to weed out and to be a little bit more, as you would say, mindful in that you don't really need all of that stuff again. You know, at 3/4 maybe for your closet and you have a quarter of your closet empty, doesn't mean when you spring clean you have to go fill it back up again.
That's true. I mean, if any of your listeners are familiar with the Buddhist aesthetic or the Zen aesthetic, it's very sparse. If you've ever been to a meditation center or a meditation retreat center or even just a Zen Buddhist meditation room at a school or any place, or if you've seen photos, there's a reason that it's very simple, uncluttered, clean, white, not a lot of distraction, but there's a purity and a simplicity to the space. And that's meant to help the mind reflect on openness and spaciousness and declutter. So I think when you there is something to be said for that decluttering, spaciousness, you know, free of distraction, and to have that in your home as much as possible is an incredible way to really let your surroundings give you, feed you, the ability to be more mindful, to be more focused, and to have more clarity. So for sure, don't replace the stuff that you're throwing out. Use it as an exercise in simplification.
I mean, we think about feng shui all the time, too. That is about clearing out some of your space so energy can flow. We also say, don't spew a lot of negative words. Just keep your words simple to the truth, and don't always be putting out negative that you have to back up or cover up. You know, if you just speak kindly, it allows others to be able to also. You know, it's about taking the negative or taking the clutter out of the energy, out of the chaos in their system, as we would say, and be able to just say, I'm just going to be calm about it. I'm just going to, as you would say, Zen type idea, to be able to just say, let's just be okay with it. Let's just flow with it instead of creating all this extra chaos or creating all this extra clutter or all this other negativity where it doesn't really need to be.
Yeah, and I think, again, the word mindful comes up. When you're truly in the moment and you're truly, you've conversed enough with your soul to know who you are and what you stand for and what you mean to do, then your words will reflect your actions. There's a really great saying that I include in the spring chapter that comes from Lao Tzu, who is a philosopher. And it's all about how everything flows from your initial mindset, okay? So it says, watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, because they become character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. And I think that really sums up everything that we've been talking about. It starts with your thoughts.
You know, absolutely, because there's so much. If you've ever taken a basic physics class, you always know about the energy out there and how it creates chaos or disorder and then order in the system, you know. We think about when we put water into a pot and we turn the pot on and it starts to boil. You know, we see all of the bubbles, we feel the heat, we notice that we need to get up before it will boil over the pot or it will dry out on the pot. So that's a sense of, you know, of all of that extra, of all of that excess. And when we're really trying to be balanced, I like to say to people, it's more like a simmering pot instead of a boiling pot. And how can you just be a simmering pot, you know, and going through life? That's a little bit closer to things will happen, things good and bad, and it's just how you react to them that will make the difference.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, what stress is, really. It's you're living in the past, you're regretting things that have already happened, you're chewing over what happened yesterday or last week or last year or last month. You build resentment, you build anxiety, and that stress, because you're living in the past, or you're projecting into the future. You're creating fear and paranoia around things that may or may not happen. So the way to get rid of feeling stressful and anxious is to just be in the present moment. That's really all we've got. And when you can, that's the essence of true mindful training and thinking, is just to be right here, right now. And that may sound like a cliche, but there's nothing truer. We really get ourselves embroiled and tangled up in knots from not being in the present moment.
Right.
And, you know, all of my own anxiety and stress definitely comes from not being here. I'm thinking about stuff I've already done. I'm worrying about stuff that's going to come. And I've, you know, have to snap out of it and go, wow, wait a minute. It's right here, right now. That's the only thing I have any control over. And when you can, you know, practice that more and more and more, then you begin, like you said, you turn down the boiling pot to a simmer.
Right.
And it starts to make much more sense.
And I think it's very important, too, that we do note is that we're not saying everybody has to be perfect. Believe me, if your kids come home at 4 o'clock in the morning and they're only 15 years old, you got a problem, okay? Yeah. You know, you're going to be a boiling point for a while. And it's to say that it's okay to be able to have those ebbs and flows all the time. You can have peaks where you are just really, really mad about something that happened a few days ago. And you will get to that point where it will be okay with it and you'll process through it. But if that's where you need to be at that moment, that is just to be okay with that. So many people are trying to, now that there's all of these gurus out there saying we need to be oneness with mindfulness, we need to be oneness with the whole, with the universe, and on and on and on, except when it turns around that they don't want to say their own vulnerability, then maybe they did have a super crappy day, you know, and maybe they had a super crappy week and you just didn't see them when they were out on their speaking tour. So let everybody know that we're human beings in the first place and we're spiritual beings also. And the difference is that it will be okay if something happens. You know, some people may totally crumble and they'll end up on another path. Maybe that's what the other path is meant to be, and to be all right with that, and to just continue to keep flowing and do the best you can. And really, that's what your book is about, is here's a lot of tools to keep you flowing, to make sure that it's going to be okay, and then to get you the next day. We think about quick fixes, you know. Everybody's looking, you know, someone has cancer today on a Friday at 3 p.m., well, the whole family panics and is calling the doctor, you know, on their beepers for all weekend long because they're just in a panic and they don't know what else to do. When in actuality, it's going to play out and do the best you can, you know. And it's difficult to hear, but it is, everybody has ups and downs, and just be okay with that.
Well, and we're not saying don't feel your feelings. I think...
Right.
For sure, you need to feel your feelings, and
right.
you need to always stay in touch with your feelings. But I think one of the things that can be learned from being very mindful and observant is to know how to balance and to come at energy flow from a real workable perspective, so that you're not holding on to your feelings, but you're expressing your feelings healthfully. You're not holding on to your thoughts so that you become rigid in your mindset, but that you're embracing give and take, and you're open. You know, there's a way to flow energy through all four quadrants of your being. And when you understand how that energy flows and you catch yourself, oh, I'm holding with my mind instead of giving freely and opening with my mind, you know,
right.
then you can start to surf through a little bit easier the crisis moments. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've given yourself the opportunity to learn, first of all, what your patterns are and how you get stuck. And you learn your triggers, what upsets you, so that you can maybe avoid those things. You can understand what you need to feel calm when everyone else around you is going around cuckoo. And you can learn how to ask for support when you feel like crumbling. So I think it's just what you're talking about is, and what I also, what anybody is advocating when we're talking about conscious living, is to just show up and be present, you know,
right.
and let yourself stay open to whatever the universe is going to give you, and realize that nothing is permanent. Everything changes. Like you said, the artist sitting in front of the window.
Right.
So if you feel stuck right now, or if you feel in despair, it doesn't mean that that's going to be a permanent state.
Right.
Because nothing stays the same. It's just the law of the universe means everything changes.
And this also is up to you when that change would occur. Some people can say, I'm stuck for 2 minutes. I can meditate my way around it. Some people will say I'm stuck for about a week until I figure it out. Others may say I've been stuck for the last 10 years, and that's okay too. It's just because whatever will come to you when you're at the time open and being able to accept it is really what it's all about. I've seen many people, probably a perfect example is someone who was not taking care of their health at all. They said, I do what I want when I want. I'm as healthy as a horse. One day, about a year ago, hit the wall like nobody's business. Totally almost died. And still denied that they had any part to play in it and demanded that the doctor fix them. And it was like, but there's something broken. And I kept saying, what do you mean something's broken? No, something's broken. Well, of course it's broken. It's, you've been pushing it so hard you broke it. And it's, I think that you just have to wait until people are also receptive. They're not able to hear some things, and that's okay because the wait time can be just as long as the time that you're stuck in it, and that's all right too because eventually you'll get what you need.
Well, and if you engage, if you learn the habit of self-nurturing and self-care, you're going to be way ahead of the game because when you've worked these little rituals of self-care into your life and you know what it takes to keep your wheels on the bus, then you're more likely to have a shorter recovery time from whatever accident or crisis or whatever comes up. And it will, because that's life. That's human life on the planet.
Right.
But you've got practice at taking care of yourself so that you can't, because I really do think this, if you don't know how to take care of yourself, then you're going to be behind the eight ball and not know what to do. And the first way out of a crisis is to know how to get enough sleep, how to eat well, how to exercise, even if it's just taking a walk around the block, how to do some deep breathing when you feel like screaming in panic. You know, these little things, these little moments of self-care and nurturing that we can learn how to give ourselves can have enormous payoff when it comes time to really need that help in a crisis. So that's really what I'm saying in this book is like develop some things to take care of yourself. And if nothing bad happens to you for the rest of your life, God be with you. I think that's great, you know, and you're going to be so lucky. And, you know, maybe you will just learn some really cool things to do. But for the rest of us, you know, hopefully these become tools of self-care when we need it the most.
But also, too, if you are that person who is really healthy and doing really well, it's about learning to help to take care of others because you can also help them up. You can help them by sharing some tips. You can help them by just sitting with them and listening to them. You can help them by maybe picking up their groceries and putting them in the car for them. Even though you know they can do it, it's just a gesture that they're cared for. It's just about being out there and sharing that which you have to be able to help others also feel just as well as you feel.
Yeah, and you know, making good soup for somebody on a cold day or making them a really cool, nice, icy smoothie on a hot day. You know, nothing says loving and care more than making somebody something to eat or drink. And when you get, I mean, I think taking care of yourself is important because it's like the oxygen mask that they talk about on the plane. You put yours on first so that you can help those around you. It's kind of the same thing with self-care. You take care of yourself first so that you're in good shape and then you can extend that care to other people. But also there's something to be said for sharing the idea of we're all in this together and reaching out and lovingly supporting, you know, with others helps us to see maybe what is lacking in our own life. And so then we can ask for that support. Or it just gives us, you know, there's something about altruism that's really wonderful. Even very small, tiny gestures it really make a huge difference, and it shifts energy. So if you're feeling down and negative and stuck and kind of awful about stuff today, maybe reach out and help somebody else, and that will kind of jiggle loose that energy, that negative energy around you, and allow for some light to come in and maybe some inspiration on how to solve your problem just simply because you took your neighbor a nice bouquet of flowers that you saw on the way home from work. Something super simple can have a profound energetic shift around you. So it's, you know, it's the idea of altruism, of helping others as a way to help yourself too.
And it's also about noticing the little things. And I just realized we're almost to the end of the show. We've got about 5 minutes left, Randy. But it's really about also noticing the little things. And your book is full of noticing all of the little things. You have a lot of phrases. You have poems. You have tips. You have recipes. You have descriptions of body work. You tell how to breathe. You share a lot of things about yoga, about exercises. And all of these are just little mindful tools that you can say, oh, I like this one, I'll circle this. Or maybe I like that next time. Or you can flip through the book and say, I am familiar with that. I've seen that before. Just like when you said before about the problems, when they come along, to how to be able to handle them. Well, when a problem comes along and you say, oh, this is okay, I recognize the symptoms, I've been here before, I know how to get out of this, and I now know how to be able to maybe not get in this way again. So each time you may learn some different tools and techniques to be able to get yourself going and saying, okay, I don't want to play in that sandbox anymore, so I'm going to learn how to get to a different sandbox next time. And then your life will just consistently keep growing. It's sort of like a different terrain or a different season or a different day, a different time. Things keep going forward. And that's really what life is really all about. And you share it so wonderfully in your book, A Year of Living Mindfully.
Thank you so much for that. I really, really appreciate it. I'm glad that you saw that. That was exactly what I was trying to do. So thank you for seeing that. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it comes down to the fact that everybody wants to live long. We want to be vibrant and healthy for as long as possible. We want to have meaningful work. We want to have people that we love in our lives, and we want to enjoy some pleasurable things, food, travel, experiences. And I think the way to kind of go about structuring that for ourselves is really to think that it starts with little baby steps, day in and day out, and living in a way that we treat our lives as this huge, enormous gift. And that we're so grateful for this gift every day, no matter what, because it goes by in a flash, you know. And to appreciate it, to love it, to honor it, these are, you know, fundamental things that I think, personally for me, help remind me of what is important. And that gets you down the road towards your long life, your long, rich, full, healthy life, better than most anything that I can think of.
It's the funniest thing. I just recently, I think it was maybe 2 or 3 days ago, I had put a post on Facebook, and it says, to all of my friends are now 60 this year. And I said, well, we're turning all 60. And how did this happen? Because I just remember high school as 2 days ago. And it is so funny because I can remember, I said, you know, I can remember standing in physics class. I can tell you what I had on. I had on these red and black checked hip hugger pants with bell bottoms that my mother had made. And I had on this black tank top and this other black sweater. I can remember there were only 3 kids in class that day. And I still can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. You know, and we all laughed about it. We said, how do we remember that? It's because we remember the light things. We remember the good things. We remember the things that just filled us with joy. Or we remember the simple things. And that's really what we're talking about, is how to continue to nurture that going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the little things, and it's really true. And you can't buy that with any amount of money. And if you are still wondering what that means, then look into it, because it's just, it's a philosophy of life, it's a philosophy of living, and it's an incredible heart-opening thing to be able to say, I love my life no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what, and no matter who or anything else, and it's still going to be okay. So, Randy, could you share with our listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Sure. So I have a website. It's randyreagan.com, and it's Randy with an I, R-A-N-D-I, Reagan, R-A-G-A-N, randyreagan.com. And I've got posts about all the stuff that we've been talking about. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, and I just try to give little tips and bits of inspiration daily and weekly, you know, that are relevant to the season, but stuff that just strikes me, like you were talking about, funny things that happen and things that I observe. And more importantly, just to remind people that, you know, life is a gift and every day can be full of joy and wonder if you let it. So that's really what I want to do. You can find my book on barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com. And, you know, drop me a line. Let me know what you're thinking or feeling about any of this. I love to hear from listeners and viewers and readers. And so, you know, that's what keeps me going, is just knowing that we're all in this together.
And I think it's great also to hear other people's stories, just as you and I have shared in this hour, is because people will say, oh, I'm so afraid to say that. I don't want to be vulnerable. I want to just, you know, keep it all inside and I'll go with the flow. And sometimes keeping it inside is exactly what eventually will be your proverbial wall. And just to be able to be okay with just sharing it or letting it out or maybe just writing it down and forgetting about it and then you're done with it. But whatever it is, it's about being able to be open and honest and truthful with your life too, but also being able to say, you know what, I'm still okay in the face of all of this. I'm still okay. I'm not broken. I'm not right or wrong. I'm just okay, and that's a great place to be, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you can really be honest and truthful with yourself and say, I love my life. I am happy for the gift of my life. Each and every day, some way, somehow. Some days it's hard, but to be able to honestly say that, then, you know, you're great. You're really great in my book. That's awesome.
You know what? I swear, I'm on the ban this year to ban this one thing. You know when people call up and they'll say, how are you? And everybody says, fine. I'm like, yeah. I want to ban the word fine because it is such a lie.
Yeah.
You know, I want people to say, you know what? I'm having a super crappy day today, but I'm okay and I'm glad you called. How is yours, you know? Or I'm having a really great day today, but I was wondering how yours was or whatever. But the word fine is like, oh, gosh.
It's very
neutral. I just
want
to kick that one.
I know. So I love the word, you know, I love the word awesome, and I love the word not so great. So, yeah. And I think there's, in between, there's a lot of words that we can use. But just show up. I would just say to people, just show up. Show up for your life. Show up every day as much as you can. And, you know, when you make that commitment to just showing up, you'll see things work out. Things smooth out and things keep going.
Yeah, because people will say, well, if you're not feeling well, is there something I can do? And really, you can always say, you know, thank you for asking, but I'll be okay, you know. But I really do appreciate you asking, because sometimes people just want to be heard, and that's really what's very important, I think. And especially about being open and honest is about being heard. And, you know, just to be honest with everyone, and I think we'll leave it with that because I think that's where it really starts. Can you be honest with yourself and then honest with others?
Absolutely. Well, you're doing a great service by reminding people through your show and your work and your words of wisdom. So I know people take it to heart, and I think that's, you're doing a great service for the world.
Oh, well, thank you so much for saying that, Randy. I think the listeners have heard us on this show say things so many different ways, but that's really the greatest thing about it, with all of people coming on just like you, is sharing their ideas and their stories, and that's really what the whole idea is about. So I thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Randy Reagan, again, her book is A Year of Living Mindfully, Seasonal Practices to Nourish Body, Mind, and Spirit. We briefly went into the season of spring. She also has summer, winter, and fall. It is a very big book. It is a great book. Page after page, you'll find something that you'll be able to incorporate into your life for both body, mind, and spirit. And you will say, I never thought of that. Or, oh, I didn't know I was already doing that. And isn't that cool? So I guess I am doing something good for myself. So take the time out and say, you know what? I do matter. It is important. And when you are full up yourself, you'll be able to help others. So thank you so much for joining us today. And until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.